When I leave at 8 o'clock, my wife's going to pick me up here, and we're going to have the pleasure. We're looking forward to going down to Fort Benning, Georgia, to attend the graduation of my son Colin from Ranger School. He's a Marine attending the Army Ranger School there this morning, and we're looking forward to it. You know what, the training they get, I said to him the other day on the telephone, I would hate to be on the other side of the United States Marine Corps. He's been training as in Ranger training for 9 weeks. Part of the training is sleep deprivation, an hour and a half sleep a night. But I'll tell you, these guys are tough, and he loves it. And I'm actually telling you the story, not for an applause or anything, but to segue into a quote that I found. How many of you ever have heard of the writer Jose Marti? Have you ever heard of him? He was a South American. In the last century, he wrote the following. He said that life on Earth is hand-to-hand mortal combat between the law of love and the law of hate. What do you think of that? Does that sound a little strong to you?
Satan is out there.
Huh? You think he's alive and well, huh, Bill?
Yeah, he's delivering the hate.
Bill Hanger says it's not too strong. I was wondering how you'd react to that. My wife says, you know, that's a little rough, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, hand-to-hand combat, you know, between the law, life or death, between the law of love and the law of hate. Listen, men, this morning in the upper room, Jesus, the night before he died, he's going to prepare his 11 men for combat. He's going to make sure that they're realistic about the difficulty involved in their mission. See, they're getting closer to the time when he's going to leave them. They still don't really get it, you know. But he's getting closer to the time when he's going to leave them, and he wants them to be prepared. And he's just told them really what he wants them to do. I'm going to summarize the last 3 weeks for you. He's told them that he wants them to be focused on quality solutions for this world that will endure. Simply put, he's saying, I'm the solution for this world. If you recall what we've been talking about here. I'm the solution for this world, and I want you all out there, you 11 guys, and I want you to make this work for me. He wants them to focus on the eternal. But men, what they will face when they go into hand-to-hand combat on the side of love, of the law of love, they will face a system that militates against this. It's not passive. It militates against this. And Jesus calls this hate. When we open the text here in John 15 this morning, he said, when the world hates you, remember they hated me first. It's not passive. It's more than indifferent. It militates against what he is all about. And he wants them to understand this. They're going to run into a system of power structures, of philosophy, of values, and of traditions that focus where? On the eternal? No. The whole system focuses on the temporal, the here and now. I talked to Colin on the phone. I said, Colin, you know, you've been slogging around down in the swamps there for mountains and the swamps. And I said, you're kind of out of it. So you have a vantage point. When we say the world, when Jesus talks about the world, what comes to your mind? What is the world? And he said, well, what I've noticed is the consumerism of everybody. Piling more things on yourself. The now, the world. Okay, so let's go today over to the 15th chapter of John. Okay? John 15:18. We'll pick up today. John 15, 18. Jesus, now in the upper room, is probably standing up. They're about to leave there and go over to the Garden of Gethsemane. But he says to them in verse 18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Men, keep this in mind. You're in good company. If the world hates you, look what they did to me. Look at the way they responded to me. Okay? And keep this in mind. Remember this. Okay, verse 19. "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Men, when you stop being covetous, when you look at this world as what can you get from the other guy, right? That's covetous. And when you stop being overly competitive, keeping up with the Joneses, right? And when you stop being greedy and you become a lover of people and you take a sincere interest in their well-being, especially their eternal well-being, you're going to stand out. And the world won't like that. You will get a reaction. Jesus calls it hate. And hate, just think of hate as militating against what he is all about. His deal is eternal life. I marvel at the fact that 25 years ago, all of my relationships were competitive, if not adversarial. I marvel at that. And today, because of Jesus Christ, I actually have people that I love and love me. And it's just amazing to me. He says in verse 20, "Remember the words I spoke to you." Notice how he always appeals to the mind. "Remember the words that I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." Remember, he says, he wants us to remember. Ten of these 11 men would go into hand-to-hand mortal combat and give their lives for the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law of love, right? Have you noticed how little interest people show in other people? I marvel when we go out socially, my wife and I, hate to admit it, but most of my friends are Christians, but when I go into what I would call the world, you know what I'm saying? Occasionally I get invited to some benefit or charity, and I'm talking about the real world where everybody's strutting around like peacocks trying to impress each other, you know? And I go in and I marvel at the fact that no matter how much interest I show in the other person, I ask them questions about where they grew up, what kind of work they do, their family, almost never do they ask me a question about myself. And I, on the way back in the car, I say to Suzanne, "Isn't it interesting how different the Lord has made us from the system that we live in, the world system that we live in?" Men, these words by Jesus Christ, he says, "Remember the words I spoke to you." These words would be their support under all the calamities that they were going to face. They were hated because they were the chosen ones by God. They were chosen by God to become out of the world, yet stay in it with love. And my question to you this morning, one of the questions I want to ask you, is, do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself as special and chosen by God? Or are you allowing the system that just kind to homogenize you and blend you in? He says in verse 21 that the world is ignorant of him. "They will treat you this way because of my name." For they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know the one. They don't know God. People don't know God. But men, that is our job. Do you understand? Our job is to help people know God. This meeting here we have on Friday morning, frankly, is not to entertain you, but is to encourage you to become a leader, meaning that you are out there fighting for Him. And I'll tell you something. It's a difficult job. You know why? 2,000 years of history, the evil one, Bill, that you talked about, Satan, has done a beautiful job confusing the issue of Jesus Christ. I mean, if you were a Jewish person today, I mean, you've got 2,000 years of the Crusades. Do you know the Crusades as they left Western Europe to go over to the Holy Land? You know, along the way through Eastern Europe, they just killed a couple of hundred thousand Jews along the way, you know, serving the Lord. Then, of course, you had the Inquisitions in later in the medieval period. They were essentially anti-Semitic. I mean, and what did these Western countries, Christian countries, do during the Holocaust? I mean, if you're a Jewish person, you got to be pretty determined to find out the truth, to cut through all of that tradition. The evil one has done a beautiful job confusing the issue of Christ. So God needs, He doesn't need mediocre people. He needs the best people He can find. That's why I'm kind of excited about this work when I look around here and I see the talent. If you get real and you fight for Him, things can really happen. And you know who I'm talking about, because you're doing that. And He says in verse 22 here, He says in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. Man, the incredible truth is that God in Jesus Christ came and spoke to this world, and all of His words are recorded. They're all written down. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just an enthusiastic person, but it never ceases to amaze me that we have God's Word for us written down. And do you know, I'm convinced that one of the enemy's major strategies is to keep people out of the Bible. J.D., let me hear it.
Amen.
I am convinced of this. People are an inch deep and a mile wide. They don't know the Bible, and that's why they get into so much trouble. That's why they're not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. And that's Satan's strategy. Keep them out of the Bible. I was sharing with a client of mine the other day, and you know, he studied theology in college, and I won't get into any names or anything like that. And I talked to him about the forgiveness of sins. And he actually listened to the tapes I did on the Ten Commandments. He says, oh, that's not true, Chris. You know, God did not die for all your sins. And I said, what makes you say that? And he said, well, you know, he gave me some rationale. And I just pulled out my little New Testament and I read him a verse that contradicted it. He says, well, I've never studied the Bible. And he says, that's all subject to interpretation. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of interpretation. Let me tell you, you just have to start reading it. He's never read the Bible. He's a man in his 50s. Satan's got him exactly where he wants him. And, you know, Jesus says in verse 23 here, better stay on time here, he who hates me hates my Father as well. Men, let me just say something. As you go into hand-to-hand mortal combat, never be surprised if you suffer for doing good. Make sure it's not self-imposed. A lot of the suffering I experience, I bring on myself because of my obnoxious personality, okay? But thank you, David. Thank you. Let me hear. Okay, never be surprised if you suffer for doing good. Men, they will do to you what they have done to Jesus. They laid in wait for His words. They tried to ensnare him and trap him and humiliate him. My favorite one is this. Every time I try to share it with somebody, I think it's out of love. I mean, if I see a person on his way to hell, to tell you the truth, it's out of love that I share the gospel with him. But my favorite one is this. Oh, you take the Bible literally. That one really, I haven't learned to emotionally process that one. You poor, pathetic man, you ignoramus, you take the Bible literally. And you know, it's really kind of hard to come back on that, you know, because you're hurt by it. But that's what they did to Jesus. And he's saying here, if you get it, they hated me and they hate my Father. And incidentally, it's just a defense mechanism on their part. So don't take it too personally. See, that's what he's saying. Don't take it too personally. Not only did he speak to this world, but he says here in our next to the last verse, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. Men, he healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He fed the 5,000. He was the greatest blessing imaginable to his country, yet he was hated. Why? Verse 25, concluding today. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. It's written down in the Hebrew Bible, in the Psalms. They hated me without reason. Men, you're operating in tough terrain. And if you don't think it's tough, you know what it is? I hate to tell you this. Let me do my Chris White thing here. You're not in the battle. You're not in the battle. You're just not engaging people realistically about what's really important in life. The evil one has totally confused the situation. My wife and I were in our mid-30s before we ever met a witnessing, loving Christian. And I have family members that are clergymen. Nobody ever told me about Jesus Christ. I told me about religion, and they told me about denominationalism, but they never told me about Jesus. And then, in my mid-30s, some good soldiers broke through the enemy's lines and got to us in love and brought us to Jesus. Thank God for them. Real fanatics. And men, I with you now, with my family, we're involved in hand-to-hand mortal combat for the law of love, the law of Christ. The challenge today, men, is this. Learn how to fight. And make sure you fight the right battles. And I think the key is to start by developing a intimate, personal relationship with Jesus by having a good disciplined life of devotion and study and prayer. And then when you develop that sincere, intimate relationship with Jesus, what happens is you start loving people. And you become a soldier. And he teaches you how to fight. Okay? Let's have prayer together. Lord, thank you for giving it straight to these 11 men, and then through the miracle of the scripture, we have it for ourselves who are succeeding them in apostolic ministry. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.